stop. Max and Stacy's threesome. Hey, it's Lex and Stacy, everybody. It is Threesome Podcast number 88. That's right.
The Crazy Eights.
Dez Bryant, Michael Irvin, Lynn Swan, the 88s.
The Hateful Eights.
Dale Jarrett, or whatever the fuck his name.
I know nothing about cars.
Yeah. Well, you knew enough to know it was a car.
I knew that, Dale Earnhardt was number three. Three car, right? Yeah.
Pre-car.
See, I remember that.
Yeah.
And that fateful Daytona 499 and a half.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the terrible jokes.
And that's right. It's not too soon. It's been years.
No, but the too soon part, I don't know. You were gone from the show, but Terry, Bruce Baum came to town, and Terry somehow... got us all to put a 3-minute set of stand-up comedy together, and we went to Pensacola and Mobile, and we had this whole discussion about writing some material and stuff like that. Well, I've never done that before.
I was going to say, I would shit myself.
And I have such tremendous respect for stand-up comedians. I really do. When I see somebody like Seinfeld go up there for 90 minutes and just kill it, you know, people have no idea what it took for him to put 90 minutes of that together. You know, just endless writing things down and making it flow and form, you know, he's just got a formula. Brian Regan, guys like that. These guys are just...
Ron White.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah, Ron White, Larry the Cable Guy, it doesn't matter. To get up there for an hour or two, Foxworthy, and do their thing is absolutely... there's nothing I have any more respect for outside of maybe brain surgeons or something. You know. Because it's frightening. It was the most frightening 3 minutes of my life. But I did have one comedic moment. The second night, the bar we were in, I went up there, and for my first 2.5 minutes, I'm just kind of bombing and laughing.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And laughing at myself through it. But my last joke, I looked over on the wall, and this bar was a NASCAR bar, and I just looked over, and I went, wow, look at all the NASCAR stuff for sale over there. You people must really love this shit. And I said, you know, you should go over there to get a pair of Dale Earnhardt pajamas. You can crash in them tonight.
That's a good one.
And I was like so proud of myself, you know, that I didn't go to the Pink Floyd, what did Dale Earnhardt and Pink Floyd have in common? The wall.
The wall.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, just, you know, it's a joke I wrote on the fly, and I was really...
Or your Sonny Bono joke. What does Sonny Bono and Woody Allen have in common? We won't repeat that one.
I forgot the joke, but I remember it slayed at the time.
Do you want me to say it?
Sure.
Okay. What do Sonny Bono and Woody Allen have in common? They both should have stayed off the slopes. That was Lex's. That was a great one. And that has stuck with me for years. You did good. That was a professional, really well done joke.
I thought the punchline was they both came in a yellow box, but I think that's another one.
Yeah.
Yes. There was two things that weren't PC about that joke. The obvious,
Yes.
The punchline and the fact that it just happened like 8 hours earlier.
Yes. Talk about too soon. Yeah. Lex was like breathing this on the still warm body of Sonny Bono.
Yeah, Sonny Bono died like in the evening, you know, on lighted ski slopes. And 8 hours later, I laid that joke.
I still bust that one out with the... Oh, I'm not going to tell that joke. It's terrible.
I don't even know what made me think of it. You know, it's just it just came out. And did I tell that on the air?
No.
No?
Nope. That was during a break.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank goodness.
Yes. You know, going back, this was many episodes ago now, when we were telling the terrible pedophile jokes that have become like a thing of legend.
Yes.
For you guys on the show and stuff. And there was that last joke you and I could not remember. And I love the fact, and have chuckled about this many times since, that all you had to do was call Terry and leave a message saying, what was the other joke? And he called back, like, immediately with the, oh, what's 3 feet tall, black and blue, and gives great head?
My son. And let me tell you why that joke was so funny to me, because the guy that told it to me was Scott.
Who is a wonderful father.
who was so super protective of his son at the time. I mean, like if you even talked about his kid on the air, he's like, well, what are we talking about? Well, what about him? You know, that type of thing. It's like, we're just asking if you take him to school, man. That's all. Yeah. You know, nobody's getting hurt or raped or anything. Yeah. Everything's okay.
So, the rape bus.
You know, so to have him tell me that joke was, I was just like, you're magical. You are the man, the king of timing. You know that you are the funniest person on this show because
what he could do with the board, with the sound effects and stuff, is really a talent.
Well, his talent was he extended our senses of humor through production.
Right.
You know, which was amazing. Like, you know, he gave us extra personalities and extra exclamation points on some of our jokes by throwing in sound effects or you know, like the computer voice that, you know, would finish a thought for us. You know.
Yeah. My favorite was when the bass player for Loverboy drowned, and you guys were talking about it, and he starts playing Turn Me Loose with bubble sounds.
Yeah.
Sounds like a fish tank.
Yeah. Yeah. Scott Smith.
Oh, that God. That's just funny.
Yeah. I mean, we're the radio version of All in the Family, you know, a show that could never air in these times.
Yeah.
You know, but ran on Saturday night in the 70s and killed and was so fucking uncool about racial shit and, you know, I mean, just, but the way they did it, you know, by having Mike and Gloria in the house, you know, who were, you know, complete liberals and unracist and, you know, were just, you know, treated everybody the same, and his wife just clueless, you know, just loved everybody, you know, just let Carol O'Connor just rip on racial shit and,
yes.
you know, sexual stuff and... You know, it was a genius show. I can't believe that show is not in syndication.
Probably for that reason. Probably the same reason that Speedy Gonzalez is no longer seen in TV.
Yeah, most likely. But, you know, it's like, You know, come on, yeah, yeah, say, put it down there. Let's talk about some colored things, you know, you got going on. You know, so, and it's like, the you know, the guys like George Jefferson and stuff is like, well, what kind of colored things would you like to know about, Archie? You know? Yeah, you know, just your regular stuff there. Do you like play cards and drink and, yeah. Yeah. or do you people do other things?
You people.
Yeah, you people. And Mike Reiner be there like Archie, you can't say those things, you know? It's like they do the same things we do. They're just a different skin color. What's the matter with you? He's like, yeah, you haven't been around as long as I have. I mean, it was just, it's so real.
Because we unfortunately still in this day and age know those people.
Yeah, because like George Jefferson and Lionel and all those guys used to come in and just fucking torment him, you know, to no end with colored stuff. They even used to say, it's like, hey, Archie, let's talk about some colored stuff. It's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sitting in his chair with his cigar.
I can vaguely remember the show.
Oh, God. So uncomfortable. Yeah. Yeah, so were the Jeffersons, you know? It was totally uncomfortable also, you know, in a reverse way. Yeah, they had the people upstairs in the mixed relationship and...
Didn't he die? Is he dead?
I think so, yeah.
Sherman?
I don't know if Sherman's dead, but the white guy that was with the black chick or...
I think Sherman's dead. I think he'd been dead a few days. Let me look. I think he rotted. I think he was like a Margot Hemingway.
Margot Hemingway. She was so hot.
She wasn't when they found her.
No.
She'd been like in a 90-degree room for a few days.
Yeah, Marielle was hot. She might still be alive.
She is. Margot's not.
Yeah. But
Sherman Hemsley died July 24th, 2012 in El Paso.
Yeah. Yeah, he was hilarious. But TV back then just was no holds barred at all. Everything was just off the scale. That's what I grew up with. And TV's just gotten pussified over the years.
Yes.
When it comes to the real, like, you know, race relations and sexual stuff and things like that.
Yeah, some things are different. Like, a year ago, because it was on Netflix, watched Friends, because I'd missed the last few seasons in real life when it had, you know, been on. So I finally watched Friends to its completion and everything. And there was an episode, and I can remember actually watching it when it was aired the first time, where they referred to balls. And me thinking, oh, I don't think I've ever heard balls on network TV before. Wow, they're so edgy, you know? And now balls and dick and everything is mentioned on a pretty fairly, you know, regular basis.
Yeah, I watched that new Lucifer show last night.
How was that?
And it wasn't bad. I need to roll it around and see a couple episodes, but it wasn't bad. But, you know, the girl in the show called him a dick like 5 times.
Good.
Yeah. So, you know, that's something you don't see on network TV a lot.
Right.
Only reason.
But see, I think the channels like FX that kind of are the halfway in between so they can say shit and stuff like that, I think. And then that was the whole point of, like, people putting TV shows on HBO and Showtime was so that you could swear. And I think people are so used to watching TV shows that swear now, you don't even think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, they, you know, they even try to push the envelope there, you know, a lot of, like, the Game of Thrones and Rome and, you know, they really try to go full-on Caligula with you and all that stuff. But it's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I want to. I started watching like the first 5 episodes and I got sidetracked. It was during my divorce.
Yeah.
And then the next thing I know, it's like season 4 and I'm just like, oh God, I'm so far behind, you know.
See, I've read, and I don't even remember the names of the books. I read like, I think the first 4 books. And after it became just super painfully, well, because the red wedding, that upset me. I actually, like, threw the book across the room and called my brother and just bitched for, like, 15 minutes. I was so pissed at that book. And then later, something else really traumatic to me happened, and that's when I stopped reading. I was like, I hate you, George R.R. Martin, and I've, like, read 4,000 pages of your shit, and I'm over it now.
Did you see Star Wars yet?
I didn't, and it makes me sad because I know it's going to leave theaters and I'm going to miss it.
What makes me sad is I can't talk to you about it.
I know, and don't talk to me about the X-Files either.
Listen. I'm going to have to talk to you about these things.
I know. Give me one more week.
Okay.
Please.
All right. But I'm going to tell you what happens in a week.
I got an email, what was it, yesterday, from an old boyfriend. And he and I dated when, like, the X-Files were on. And that was our thing. We would watch X-Files, you know, and just kind of hang and watch X-Files. And he brought that up.
Hang and on his penis. X-Files and chill.
Well, my dad died 21 years ago when X-Files was on, not like during the actual episode, yeah. But his funeral was on a Friday. And afterwards,
my condolences,
all of,
by the way.
Well, it was 21 years ago. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, sure.
So all of the young people, like the older family, finally went home and was like, oh, I can go home now. But the young people, our friends, came back to my mom's house and we were just hanging out. And so the X-Files were on. So we turn on the X-Files. And this was actually what he brought up in the email, because there we are, still like partly dressed in like our good funeral clothes and stuff. And it was just like the worst time of my life.
Yeah.
And it was the episode where the guy was mutilating all of the bodies in the funeral homes.
Oh, my God.
And my mom got up and left the room. And we're all just sitting there like, oh, my God, what are the odds that this episode would be on the night of my father's funeral? Oh, my God. And he mentioned that. He's like, you know, I still watch when I see that episode. He's like, I still cringe. I still very much have that feeling of all of us just sitting there like, oh, my God. And your mom getting up and leaving because...
So brutal.
It was awful. But I can tell you, it was January 13th, 1995, when the funeral home body molestering episode aired.
Oh, man.
This way, he was going in and, like, clipping their hair and clipping their fingernails and doing all kinds of creepy stuff to the bodies.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember it. I tried to watch a bunch of them leading up to this and to get back into it.
Do you realize, and I, back a couple of years ago now on Netflix, because in real life, I watched The X-Files up until, I think, what, there were 9 seasons. I think I watched up through, like, the 7th season.
Yeah.
And then I never watched after David Duchovny left.
That seems Same to thing. It seems to be where everybody gets to and stops.
Yes. So I have not seen the last 2 seasons or however many there were without David Duchovny.
Yeah, there's no need to watch without David Duchovny.
Also, speaking of that, did you see... My mom looked into it further and said that she actually ended up getting paid more. But initially, for this revival of The X-Files, Gillian Anderson was offered only half of what David Duchovny was offered to come back. And I'm sorry, it's The X-Files. Mulder and Scully. They are a pair. They are a team. Why was she offered only half?
God, Stacey, it's simple. She's a woman. Duh. Of course, the reason they'll give at the studio is that she's not as tied to the storyline as he is. And they could do it without her if they needed to, because he's that strong of a character. And it does revolve around him and his sister. And they could make episodes just about him and, you know, get away with it. All that stuff. But...
Yet they continued the show for 2 seasons without him. She ended up getting more money, but still, you know, it's Mulder and Scully.
Yeah, it's just,
what a pain in the ass.
It's just the world we live in.
Yeah, it is. That's way too bad.
But, you know, there's a lot of female stars getting more than male stars these days, so it's okay.
Not if they're in the same movie with them or show.
That's not necessarily true.
I mean, yes, I remember when, like, Julia Roberts made $10 million for whatever movie. I don't remember. This was years ago now. And it was like, that made her the highest paid female star in history.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but it was her movie. You know, it wasn't like she was paired up with Brad Pitt. Because I guarantee you, if she had been in a movie with Brad Pitt, he would have been making $15
million. Only because he's prettier.
Not anymore. Angelina has sucked all that was good out of him, right through his penis.
Well, what a way to go.
Ugh. 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 Oh, she's not aged well either. Jennifer Aniston has. You know, back 10 years ago when he left Jennifer for Angelina, my brother was all like, oh, he upgraded. And within the last few years, my brother has finally said, you know, now Jennifer's much better than Angelina.
I never looked at it as upgrading. I looked at it as, and I'm sorry, but their relationship has kind of stood the test of time. They've been together for a while, so, you know, they just may be conducive for each other, you know, and
because they have a buttload of kids,
you know, and Jennifer Aniston, on the other hand, not so much, you know, had a little trouble getting along with dudes and, you know, putting a relationship.
Well, do you blame her? I don't know. Her husband left her for Angelina Jolie. I mean, when you're Jennifer Aniston, especially 10 years ago, at the height of her everything, you know, she still got dumped. She still got cheated on with Angelina Jolie. What are the odds?
It's a very valuable lesson, Stacey, that no matter how much you're the shit, there's somebody that's the shittier.
Like Hugh Grant. He had Elizabeth Hurley, probably the greatest body to ever go on film, because she still has a smoking bod.
Body, face, hair, everything. Accent.
Oh, that bedazzled movie where they remade. She's in a different red leather outfit, like, in every scene, and it's like, oh, my God.
That opening scene at the top of the steps, it's like, what the fuck, man?
If you've not seen this movie, it's a terrible, awful movie, but watch it strictly to watch her in her red leather.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You will stay through the movie if you're hetero.
And ladies, I think you'll watch, too, and go, you know, I'd go there. Mm-hmm. She's pretty fucking hot.
Yeah, she's
but hey, he cheated on her with Divine Brown.
Yep.
The two-bit street hooker in West Hollywood.
You know, because she sucks cock better. Or just does.
Well, we don't know that, do we?
Well, there has to be some reason for it.
No, I think it's just because he could. Same reason Bill Clinton got Monica Lewinsky to give him a Hummer. Because he could.
He's the president. You should
I
be
wish
allowed,
he was.
You should be allowed a freebie if you're the president. It's like that girl in the NBA. It's a Russian player, but he has permission on the road to hit one a year.
Which means he hits five or more, but just tells her about one. So she's good with that.
Yeah, he probably doesn't. You know, especially the way the NBA schedule is. But, you know, usually on the road, you're playing back-to-backs and all that. It's not a lot of socializing time. But every once in a while, there is. But I doubt he is. I, you know, for one thing, this girl's sick. You know, just fucking sickly hot.
But so is Elizabeth Hurley.
Yeah. But she's like, enjoy your NBA career. Have no regrets. You know, don't overdo it. Don't let it mean something. You know, it's...
See, that is... And I'm because you brought this up, this is something that I've thought. I'm trying to think. There was a thing back maybe 6 months ago, and it wasn't even anyone really famous. He was like the editor for some magazine or something. But some other magazine posted, like, basically outed him as going, when he travels to other towns, he hooks up with, like, male prostitutes, even though he's married and has kids and everything. And it turned into, you know, basically just a shame fest kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking during that, you know, it was like, everyone's talking about his poor wife. And it's like, odds are pretty good. His wife probably knows, at least today. I could see maybe 20 years ago where men weren't telling the wives that they really loved sucking cock. You know, I think that that's more prevalent now. If a man has that desire.
I'm sure there's some arrangements out there.
Yeah. You know, don't swallow. Keep it out of your mouth. Don't get AIDS. You have to get checked twice a year. You know, that kind of thing. And then, you know, you could also have the freak wife who wants to know. Comes home, so tell me about the cock that you sucked tonight. And then she fucks him hard while he tells her.
Or she got told 5 years into the marriage, processes it. She fucks who she wants. He fucks who he wants. And they collectively raise their family and kids together in total friendly, very close-knit bond harmony. But they're not lovers.
Right. And I think that actually happens a lot, too. And I think that probably some of the very best marriages that you see out there, like long-term, that have stuck together, probably are more that than anything else.
Yeah, because, you know, at that point, you know, you don't take it personal if you have a brain. You know, right. That's obviously what their preference is. Yet, you know, you've made these fabulous kids and you have security in your future. And, you know, it's like you got each other's backs.
Yeah.
You know, and
he takes the garbage out. She, you know, makes sure that dinner is ready on Saturday night, yeah. You know, for family date night, whatever.
And when the kids get past 18 and on into their adult lives, we'll decide what we're going to do. But everything's cool, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's probably more of that than there ever was, for sure. But,
now, unless it's a family like, you know, the Duggars, and yeah. I will admit, I admit, petty me, I just enjoyed the hell out of all of the terrible things that has happened to that family, except to the girls. I feel terrible for the girls that have had to endure their parents' craziness and their brother's deviance. But it was nice to see that family fall.
Yeah, it was a little much. I don't like government sanctions or anything, but there should be an extraordinarily high number where you have to stop, like 9 or 10.
You know, in the old days, when you had the farm, Pa and Ma had the farm. She produced children until she could no longer because, first of all, at least a quarter of them were just going to die because that's just what happened. Then the others either helped her or helped Pa out in the field make sure that the farm survived.
Right. Like that DirecTV commercial.
Where the settlers. My Ma has her cabbages.
Yeah. And you have your stomping foot.
Now, why don't you go in the house and make your own clothes?
Yeah. I like the one, you know, just, you know, waiting for a fertile spring, harvesting the land. And the guy's walking in the house with his briefcase like, okay.
And he goes, oh.
Yeah.
You know, DirecTV consistently has the most awesome commercials. Yeah. Whether it's, you know, Peyton Manning or Rob Lowe or the settler ones, I just love them.
The boy has his stick in his ring and she has her faceless dolls. You have your cabbages. And you have your stomping foot. That's right. We have everything we need.
Yes, we're the settlers.
Yeah. A great commercial.
They are. They're fantastic. Stupid DirecTV.
I know. I can't even afford them right now after my stay in the hospital and getting engaged. I'm as poor as I've ever been.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But you're happy.
I'm like, well, yeah, but it's like I miscalculated some things, you know, so it's like I'm hoping my TV stays on till Friday. I haven't been in that position in a long time.
I was going to say, that's like teens, early 20s.
Yeah. But, you know, once I get paid, I'll be fine, but Jesus. It's been quite a stressful week.
We gave up DirecTV, I'm going to guess, maybe 7 years ago. No, it's not that long. Anyway, literally since then, because we live so far out, we don't even have like local TV. We would need a big giant antenna on top of the house for that. So we strictly, completely live on Netflix. And then the rare times we come to my mom's house and watch TV.
Yeah.
You know, when we gather around the television set and go, oh, my God, look at it.
You're settlers. either that or you're millennials.
We're like the Amish, but different.
Yeah, my daughter doesn't have a TV in her apartment. They all sit around and watch their laptops.
Wow. Wow, TV's going to become obsolete. I need a big screen, though.
I do, too.
Does that make me old? It drives me nuts. I couldn't imagine watching something like okay, I finally get to see Star Wars, The Force Awakens. I'm not going to watch it on my phone.
Yeah, she goes, we're better than baby boomers, Dad. You know, you wait for the content to come to you where we go out and seek it. And I went, you're an idiot. I have UVerse TV, and I see everything days before you see it. I'm much more progressive than you are. I see it when it happens.
Are you a baby boomer?
Yeah, I am. Bottom end, but yes.
Okay.
And I said, by the way, we're the ones who made all this shit. The shit you're watching and the shit I'm watching. We all did it. Our generation. Boom!
Dominoes, motherfucker.
That's right.
So what came after baby boomers?
Gen X.
Really?
Yeah.
There's like a big age difference there, though, isn't there?
No.
Because I'm Gen X.
Yeah, I mean...
Are we the kids of baby boomers? Is that how that works?
You are the kids of baby boomers, yes.
Gotcha. And then millennials came after, so the millennials are the kids of ours.
There's actually two other generations.
There's Generation Y.
There's Gen Y, then millennials, right?
I'm gonna have to look this up.
Doesn't it go 20 years?
I don't know. I guess I always thought it was like the kids of the last generation.
Yeah, I think it's 20. I think it's 20 years. You know, like the span. So it would be Gen X, Gen Y, Millennial.
I do believe.
There may be another one in there. I don't know.
Is Generation Y the whiny one that, like, everyone had to have gold stars and win an award? Or is that the Millennials?
No, it's the Millennials. The participation awards?
Yes, the little boobs.
Yeah, that's in the now. That's Millennials.
Pussy pieces of shit.
Yeah. Well, it's their pussy Gen Y parents. You know?
I think that's Gen X parents, too.
Well, yeah. And in some cases, people that had them late, like me.
True.
You know, I never saw the genius in that. I remember a horse show that Sam rode in. They were giving out the same color ribbons.
Really?
Yeah. And the backlash was so furious that was the last time that ever happened.
See, yeah. I can remember in first grade, you know, I played Lions Club softball, and it was after I went through in my young years, you know, that then they brought in T-ball. But, you know, I learned as a first grader how to hit a pitched ball, even a terribly pitched ball by another first grade girl.
Yeah.
You know, And I remember just looking, I was probably in high school when it started to becoming T-ball, and it's like, are you kidding me?
I remember being at bat in the last inning with everything on the line and looking over at the tables and seeing big trophies and small trophies. You know, once somebody was going home with the little ones, somebody's going home with the big ones, depending on how it went.
Yep.
You know, and that was like cool. You know, I didn't, I was on the losing end a couple times. I wasn't shattered or humiliated. You know, it's like we came in second. So what?
Yep.
You know,
not everybody ever gets to be first.
It's a great lesson in life. You know, it's like you should have got a hit. You know,
and for those who are like, if you have the unfortunate kid who loses at everything, then you as a parent, go find something that they can excel in.
Yeah. Be a good parent and say, everybody is good at something.
Like chess.
We just need to find what that is for you.
Something that interests you. And you know what? You don't even have to be good at it, but if it makes you happy doing it, and you don't care if you're super good at it because you just have so much fun and enjoyment from doing it, then just do it.
Yeah, I remember I was kind of middle of the pack at everything. And, until I took up tennis and found out I was exceptional at it, you know,
when you hit the ball.
That was such bullshit. Yeah, I don't know who started that, but that's
wasn't it Monica Seles? It was
Monica Seles and Agassi were like the.
Andre, I'm bald now, Agassi.
Yeah.
You know, God, he was hot with that long hair.
He was cool looking with the bald too. I mean, you know, Andre, I've met a couple times, and he's a great fucking guy.
Good.
He really is. Just a real class act and a nice person. And
I kind of guessed he was because he dated Brooke Shields. And as I've gotten older, I've developed an appreciation for Brooke Shields that I didn't have when I was young. And I think that, she's like a pretty good egg. And so if she dated him, he's a pretty good guy.
Yeah. I mean, we had him on the air and I met him once in Los Angeles. He had one of the artists that he was friends with and he came to the office with him and just a really nice guy. Really was, man. Yeah, and I think back then he was like 18. You know, he still had
hair.
And all the chicks in the office were all over him. And he could tell they were smitten with him and everything. And he, took big hug pictures with him, not just with his arm.
So he was like Bill Lambier.
No.
Bill Lambier was incredible. When he retired, all the women in the Pistons back office cried. They loved them some Lambier.
Why, was he like a big teddy bear or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Total ass out on the, court, but behind the scenes, he's like, oh, hello there, it's your birthday, oh, boo, 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 boo,
Yeah. No, it wasn't just arm around the girl. It was like pulling her close and making it special for them and all that. I mean, I just remember going, what a cool guy.
He placed his penis inside each and every vagina at least once that day.
He did. He just, a couple bending them over the desk shots and stuff like that. Just really, really nice guy.
It was special.
I can't tell you how, I remember that day and I said, if I ever become a star, I'm going to bend people over and make them happy just like him. Unfortunately, I never had the chance to do that. So, anyway, we got to wrap things up, Stace.
Yes.
Yeah. Dreams unrealized, huh?
Well, you can you can virtually bend me over now as we say goodbye.
I'm a settler, Stacey.
a penile settler.
I'm harvesting my friends. And I just put the stick in the round thing like my son.
And now I'm going to go make my own clothes.
Yes. Enjoy your cabbages, Stacey.
I will.
And your faceless dolls. Yeah. Anyway, we're out of here. We'll see you next time on the Threesome Podcast. Bye.